It's great to have y'all here. Our new sister, Jessica, is just so awesome. Amen. It's awesome to be able to call you sister. Because last Monday night we gathered for a leaders meeting at the Chepeta's basement. Amen. You know, it used to be the Gimple's living room. But now here for us, it's the Chepeta's basement.
Amen.
Amen. As we just gather, now hopefully not, we're not would-be disciples gathering there. Hopefully we're sold-out disciples gathering in the Chepeta's basement. But what a way to start the leaders' meeting on Monday night with a brand new sister being put down in the water. And that was awesome. You know, there's a story that Pat Bouye loves to tell. And it's the story of an Indian chief. And already, that's cool. You got a picture of the Indian chief. And the Indian chief was looking at his grandson. And he noticed his grandson was having a rough time that day.
Okay.
You know, there was some conflict inside of his grandson. I'm sure it's not like that for any of the children in the children's ministry right now. I'm sure they're just doing great. But he noticed, said, come over here, grandson. He set him down. And he looked at him and said, you know, in every one of us, there's a battle going on. And it's a battle between two wolves. And then there's another image. Grandson's like, he says, one wolf is the wolf of goodness and kindness and love. The other wolf is the wolf of evil and hatred and anger. And this battle's going on in every one of us. And he looked at his grandson and said, I can tell that battle's going on in you today. And he's like, yeah, you know, yeah, where are they? And then he looks up at his granddad and he says, Grandpa, which wolf wins? And he looks right at him and he says, the wolf you choose to feed.
Wow. Yep.
And he's trying to teach his grandson from early on that there are choices that we make in this life.
Yep.
There are choices. And the title of the sermon today is Choose What's Right and You Will Win the Fight. Amen?
Yes.
Genesis chapter 4, verse 1.
All right, bro, come on.
We're going to look at a man here who you could tell the wolves were going at it somewhat ferociously on this day. And that's Cain. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Adam lay with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. Now get this. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, you will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. There was a battle going on in this man named Cain. And now you look at it. You know, you got two brothers, Cain and Abel. You know, I always find it funny when people have twins. And they're looking for names to name their twins. And a lot of times they choose Joshua and Caleb. You know, if they're spiritual people. You know, you're not going to find too many Cain and Abels chosen. We avoid those names. How come? Because of what we're reading about right here.
Yeah.
Cain was struggling with this battle deep inside of him. And God Himself came and had a little, what should we call, discipling time. With Cain. And he looked at him and he said, why are you so mad? So angry. And then he asked him, why are you so sad? Now, if you look close at our own lives, you'll find when we're really angry, are you really happy?
No.
Doesn't work that way, does it? So mad and sad seem to go together. And you could tell that wolf was winning the battle. What was his advice to Cain? It's simply the title of the message today. Choose what's right and you will win the fight. You will be accepted. But,
come on.
That's a big but right there.
Come on.
He said, but if you don't, look what it says. If you don't, sin is crouching. Now, how does sin crouch? Yeah, it kind of sounds like an animal. And where's it crouching? At your door. And what does it desire? To have you. Doesn't sound so much like an inanimate object. Sounds more like a monster, you know? Right outside your door. But see, I'm convinced we don't look at sin as that monster that we need to in our lives. Point number one. Guard your heart, or sin will rip you apart.
Wow.
You guys, that may not sound nice, and that's because it's not nice. God is saying, hey, if you do what's right, you'll be accepted, you'll be awesome, you'll win the fight. But if you don't, sin is right there.
Yep.
And it desires to have you, but you must master it.
Yeah.
Take a look over to Hebrews chapter 3.
Come on, friends. All right, bro, come on.
Now, Proverbs teaches us, it says, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life.
Right.
In fact, it says, above all else, guard your heart.
Yeah.
So why do you think we don't do a better job in this world of guarding our hearts? How come? Now, truly, Revelation teaches that Satan has come to lead the whole world astray. And if you look at our world very closely, you'll see he's done a pretty good job leading it astray. You with me here?
Yep.
And so, why do more people in the world not do a better job guarding their heart? But keep in mind, what we're about to read here wasn't written to lost people. It was written to saved people. What we're about to read in Hebrews was written to the Hebrew Christians here. And it says, chapter 3, verse 12, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Boy, doesn't that say it all?
Wow. Yep.
Sin in its very nature is so deceiving. It's so deceitful. You can look at it and you think, oh, that's not that bad.
Mm.
You know, I'm not hurting anybody with my sin here. But sin is so deceitful. What sin does is it gets into our hearts. And the first thing it does, it infects our hearts.
Mm.
Then it hardens our hearts. And then it deceives our hearts. Here, what's the command, the admonition of Hebrews chapter 3? It says, you need to see to it. That's a command. You guys with me here?
Yep. Come on.
That's something that we're supposed to be doing. See to it that what? That none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart.
Right.
How's your heart doing this morning?
Come on.
How are we doing?
Come on, bro.
Because you know, it's so easy for sin to get in there and infect our hearts.
That's right.
But we're called as Christians to see to it.
Come on.
That none of us has a sinful, unbelieving heart.
Amen.
That'll then turn away from God. Now, yesterday, Teresa took our kids and another child to the movie. And while they were at the movie, a man, say in his 50s, came in and sat down next to one of the young children. Now, if you're in a movie theater sitting next to a young child, and their arm's on the thing next to you, where do you put your arm? Maybe on your lap, maybe you cross your arms. That's not what this guy's doing. He put his arm right on the arm, right, and rubbed it against the kid's arm. She turned around and she said, please don't do that. Right? Don't do that. Then he offered popcorn to the child. We don't know this guy. She says, don't do that. And if you know my wife, she can get kind of serious. She said, don't do that. You know what he did? He went. Yeah. That's intense, isn't it? Nice, yeah, you think they, oh, I'm sorry, I'm very sorry, right? Well, there's another wolf winning that battle in this man.
Yep.
So Teresa got the manager. They stood there vigilantly, watched, and then ended up moving the kid, you know, away from the guy. She was seeing to it that nothing happened to that child.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she said, not on my watch.
Yep.
That's how we've got to be for each other.
Amen.
We got to guard, we got to help each other, guard our hearts so that sin won't rip us apart. Because sin loves to get in there. In fact, you know, my roommate, I always tell this story when I talk about sin because it's such a good story. My roommate, before I was married, one night came in and he was scratching his feet. A lie, you know, just like scratching his feet. And I noticed it and I'm like, dude, that's disgusting. You know, what are you doing? And he's like, I know, but it just itches or whatever. I'm like, dude, you got to look into that. You need to check that out. He's like, nah, it's okay. It's, you know, oh. Well, he kept it up, and before you know it, he's in the hospital.
What?
Yeah, and he almost lost his leg. Because it got infected. It got in the bloodstream, swole that leg up like nobody's business, and he almost lost his leg.
Wow.
But you know, that's how we are with sin.
Yep.
You know, bro, what are you doing? Nah, it's not that big a deal. It's just not that big a deal.
Come on.
You know, it's just a little bitty sin.
Talk about that, bro.
And then it infects, and it gets in there, and if we're not careful, we'll lose our hearts.
Yep.
Look at James chapter 1.
Come on, bro.
James chapter 1 teaches us a little bit more about sin. Now, in case you're wondering, what's the definition of sin? Well, you know, what I love is the very vivid definition. It's an archery term. So, when you shoot a bow and arrow, you're trying to hit the bullseye, right?
Yep.
And as Christians, as people that have decided to love God with all our heart, that's our goal, is to be like Jesus.
Yep.
That's the bullseye. And the literal term for sin means to miss the mark.
Yep.
So you're trying to be like, did you miss the mark? And that's sin. But I think too often, we think of it as an accident. Mm. Oh, you know what? I'm trying to hit the bullseye. Oh, and it went off. And that happens. But there's other times, the bullseye's over there, and we're throwing in the opposite direction.
Right.
You know, and that's when Pambuya is like, watch my walls! You know, it's like we're choosing to go in a different direction. We're choosing to veer off. James really warns us about that. Chapter 1, verse 13.
Come on.
It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death.
Yep. Right.
Now, we got to get a good definition of sin.
Come on.
Sin is a monster. And it's crouching at our door, and it desires to have us.
Yep.
But you know, it's funny. We look at what that man did in the theater.
Yep.
And we go, what? That's so wrong. And we have deep conviction about his sin.
Yeah.
Come on.
Breathe. Come on. Bring it home here.
What about our own?
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on.
See, that's the danger. We got to hate sin. We got to hate it in other people. We got to hate it in ourselves too.
Yeah. Right.
And far too often we look at other people, and because they choose to sin in ways that we think are not good, we go, ugh. But our sins, because we like those, well, they're not that bad. And we minimize our sin. Look at Psalm 36.
Come on.
Come on, bro.
We do that so much, we minimize our sin. But you know, that's the power of sharing what God has done in our life.
Yep.
When we're able to share what God's done in our life, like our brother Dave did last week.
Amen.
You know, Dave shared for the communion last week, and today Patrick Bouye Jr. is going to share.
Amen.
And he's going to share his testimony. And when we share our testimony, how God has worked in our life, it really helps other people to listen in, and then they go, wow. And they hear how it relates to them. And there's a woman that called up, and she said, you know, that communion that Dave did was so powerful. It really helped me see how in my own life I've been minimizing my own sin.
Yeah.
But isn't that what we're tempted to do?
Yep.
Psalm 36, verse 1. It says, an oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There's no fear of God before his eyes. For in his own eyes, he flatters himself too much to hate or detect or hate his own sin.
Wow.
Isn't that what we're talking about?
Yep.
We look out at the world and we see things that are atrocious.
Wow.
I mean, look what we're talking about with Cain and Abel. We're talking about murder.
Yep.
Later in Genesis 4, how did Cain respond? After God discipled him. And God said, if you do what's right, you'll be fine, you'll be accepted. But if you don't, hey, guard your heart or sin will rip you apart.
Yep.
What did he do? What did he do? Hold your place here. And let's go to Genesis 4 again.
Come on, Chris.
We're going to come back to this other one. Genesis 4. How did Cain respond from this little discipling time with God? Verse 8. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out in the field. And while they were in the field, Cain apologized to his brother Abel. He told him, you know what? I've been so angry and jealous because I see that you're giving God your very, very best. And instead of me being humble and learning from you, and learning how I could give God more of my best, instead I've just been angry with you.
Wow.
Because God's looking at favor on your sacrifice, but now favor on mine, and that made me angry.
Wow.
And I understand I really should be angry at myself, and just repent, but instead I'm angry at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to kill you today, but I've decided to repent.
Amen.
And they became the best of brothers.
Oh.
And then everybody named their twins Cain and Abel.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
But that's not what happened, is it?
Right.
Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him.
Wow.
It's incredible.
Mm.
And there's a very important lesson to learn here. You know what? Sometimes you're trying to get into people's lives and you're trying to help them. You're trying to help them see their own sin. Remember what Psalm 36 said? You know, that it said, you flatter yourself too much to detect or hate your own sin. So we don't have to turn back there. We can just make the point right here. That's how we are.
Yep.
Again, we look at other people, their sin is real easy for us to see, right? Bro, I see this sin. And you know, the Bible tells me I need to see to it that you don't get sinful, so let me help you. But our own life, in our own life, we need a lot of help.
Yep.
Here, Cain got so deceived that he could not detect his own sin, much less hate his own sin. And so, it's like James said, it started to snowball. I doubt he just looked at his brother one day and decided, I'm going to kill him.
That's right.
It started smaller than that.
Yep.
It started with maybe envy, jealousy,
yep,
bitterness, and it just grew and grew.
Whoa.
To murder.
Yep. Yep.
We look out at our world and we go, look at our horrible world that we live in. Would anyone here disagree with that?
Yeah.
The murder, the rape, the hatred, prejudice, the theft. You know, one lady made it to church last week at the inaugural service simply because someone stole from her. Someone stole a bag of makeup worth $600 or $700.
Yeah.
It changed a couple of times there. But, and so the Parlors and us, we went to Panera to sit down and have some lunch, and she was sitting there and she told us, take your bags off the chair like that, because I just had mine stolen.
Yeah.
Several hundred dollars worth. And her husband used to be a policeman. And so she called him and he said, check the trash cans, because what thieves normally do is they take it, they get what they want, and they throw it away, you know, in the first place. Well, it wasn't around. But see, the very fact that we know that's how thieves act, say there's a lot of thieves.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now we look at that and we go, is that good? Is that a good thing in our world? No, we all agree. If people would just take the scriptures and obey the scriptures and listen to what God has to say in our lives, the world would be different.
Yep.
Isn't that right?
Yep.
And the hypocrisy is extreme. The hypocrisy is extreme.
Mm-hmm.
But it's looking at our own lives.
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
And be able to face what we need to deal with and change in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
God Himself talked to Cain and was unable to help him. That's a very important point to understand, especially if you're a man or a woman that's trying to help people change their lives and deal with sin. Because sometimes you get in people's lives, you try to help them, and they don't change. And then it just breaks your heart when people don't change, and you're watching sin literally rip their lives apart. You're watching sin literally rip their marriage apart. Destroy their relationship with their children. You watch it, and you're in there, and you're like, if you just obey the Bible, it'll be awesome.
Yep.
But they don't. And what are you tempted to feel? Like you blew it.
Yep, that's right.
What did I do wrong? What could I have done better? Listen, God Himself came in here to try to help Cain. He said, guard your heart, or sin's going to rip you apart. It's not a very intelligent message. I'm not insulting God. I'm saying it's not complicated. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
See, how could I have helped him better? No, this is as simple as it gets.
Yeah. Right.
You just need to change.
Yeah.
So if you've said those words, you've done what you need to do.
Yeah.
And you keep loving them. But people have to make a decision they're going to change.
That's right.
Cain didn't.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's read on.
Come on, Chris.
Come on, bro.
Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper?
Well.
You know, sometimes people just say things and you know something's wrong deep inside. This is a dead giveaway. The Lord said, what have you done? What have you done? Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you're under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand? Wow, when you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You'll be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. I tell you what, guys, we've got to learn to guard our heart or sin will rip us apart.
Yep, that's right.
And then, of course, we learn from Isaiah 59, what else does sin do? 1 and 2, it separates us from God.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's that sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from God. You know, there's a very simple solution that we can all do to guard our hearts against sin.
Okay.
You know what it is? It's very simple. The other day, I was trying to set up my computer. Now, I am not a very computer literate dude. You know, I haven't used a computer in years. And I was here, I'm trying to set it up. It took me days on the phone with AT&T to get the internet working properly, you know. And then I finally get it up, and Joe's the guru, so he's helping me out. And I call him, I'm like, Joe, I got some trouble here. You know, it's just the computer's doing weird things. He said, well, you have a firewall, don't you? I said, what's that? He said, oh no, shut your computer down right this minute, get off the internet. I'm like, dude, chill, what's the problem? the thing. You don't understand. If you have a firewall, you're not protected. And there's people out there that can get into your computer and put things on it or take things off of it. Turn off the computer! And I thought, wow! See, that's how we are with sin. We're just like, and then a disciple who understands what sin will do if you let it in, he's like, you need to get away from that.
Yep.
You need to change, guard your heart. What are you talking about? Well, I've learned a few things since then, and I feel much more protected. I got a firewall going. Well, that's this great wall of fire, you know, and it keeps out predators. It keeps out people that want to come in and put different things on your computer, like spyware, so they can spy around and get your personal information. Or they can link you to their site, which have some bad stuff on it. You know, or either one. They can come in, take stuff, and put stuff in. Well, I thought, you know what? That's what we need in our spiritual lives. We need a firewall.
Mm.
Yeah. You know what it is? Spiritual relationships.
Wow.
That's what it is. Remember Hebrews 3? See to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from living God. But remember Psalm 36, we get deceived. We can't even detect our own sin.
Yep.
So we need other people in there to help us,
Amen.
To encourage us every day.
Amen.
To watch out for sin in our lives. Now, how many people are you around every day who their main desire is to spiritually encourage you and help you avoid sin that's going to rip your life apart?
Wow.
When you're out in the world. Are there many people with that goal? No. So relationships alone aren't enough. We need spiritual relationships.
Yep, that's right.
And you know, when you think something's going a little funny with the computer, you know what you do? You scan it. That's what I've learned. You just do a scan for a virus. And then you watch it and it goes... It's going through these files, these folders. And at the end it just pops up. I found 3 critical objects. Delete them now. I'm like, whoa, I've got critical objects. You know, delete. Ah! You know, Joe was right. What's going on? But then that's not enough. Then you got to scan for spyware. Yeah, you got to quarantine them or get rid of them. And it tells you what to do. It's awesome. Then you go for the spyware. And it's... And it goes, oh, you have 3 things on there that's spying on you.
Oh.
And then they scare you? You're like, what's going on? Right now, I'm talking to the IRS. Teresa's talking to them more because someone stole my information and got a tax return in my name. And so I'm not getting my tax return. So we're working that out. So now I'm particularly like, ooh, I don't want people spying on me.
Yeah.
You know what spiritual relationships are? We come up to each other. Hey, Roger, how you doing? Oh, time for a weekly scan. You know, that's what we call a discipling time. You know, and we got to get in each other's lives and scan regularly.
Amen.
Otherwise, that garbage is going to be in there.
Here we go.
Oh, Roger, I see 2 minimum problem items, but there's a critical item. We got to quarantine it and get rid of it.
Amen.
But too many people don't have that in their life.
Yep.
They don't have those spiritual relationships where we can just drop the guard, stop guarding our, you know, appearance, and guard our hearts.
Yep.
And we get open and real.
Yep.
Here's what I'm going through. I'm so grateful for Roger in my life. For years. He's just been that kind of friend where we can talk wide open about every little thing that's going on. And not once we're in big sin, but when it's small. Catch it when it's that small temptation so that it doesn't grow.
Come on.
We need to get that firewall up and guard our hearts so sin doesn't rip us apart.
Yep.
And lastly, number 2, you got to train your brain or you're going to end up like Cain.
Oh.
1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, I like to flow from time to time. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, there's a challenge out there from the youth ministry. There's a challenge out there from the youth ministry. I used to ride around with Joel. I'm just going to get open here and honest. And this is before Joel became a Christian. And I was riding around with him because I wanted him to become a Christian. I loved him. And I wanted to help him. And we'd ride around in the car. And I was trying to get to know, you know, the teens. And I'm older, so I'm not cool all the time. You know. And, but, you know, there's all this thing they call rap music. And so a rap song came on. I said, come on, Joel, let's flow. Come on, bro, let's flow. Let it go, you know, rhyme it up. Joel, what's up? You know, come on. I'm like, Joel. And Joel, I got him to do it, too. And, you know, it's kind of like earlier when Joel got us to view that holy city and never get tired. You know, you can't be all like, I'm cool after you've done that. We're the guard's down.
Yeah.
And so after Joel be rhyming and, you know, everything, then we can, like, be cooler, you know, with each other. And other. So there's a challenge out to do a freestyle flow while preaching. I don't think today's the day. So anyway, amen.
Come on.
1 Peter chapter 4. We got to keep a little anticipation over something going on. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 1. You got to train your brain so that you don't end up like Cain.
Come on.
Verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you've spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They, the world, think it's strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation. And they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Let me tell you something. We already made the point, but sin brings suffering.
Yep.
And here it starts off by reminding us of the death of Christ on the cross. It says, since Christ suffered, we've got to arm ourselves with that same attitude as Christ. What's that same attitude? Well, it's right here. We don't live any longer for worldly, evil, human desires.
Wow.
But we live now for the will of God.
Yep.
What did Jesus say in John? My food is to do the will of the Father.
That's right.
That's how you train your brain. We've got to learn we don't live the way the world lives anymore. When you see the damage that sin has done in so many lives, why do we keep doing it? Because we haven't trained ourselves not to.
It
says here, they think it's strange that those following Christ don't just jump on in with what we're doing. Man, that's strange. And they heap abuse on you. You who are now trying not to jump into those same passions anymore. The funny thing happens. When you decide to live for the will of God and to feed that wolf that's about goodness and righteousness and the Spirit of God and doing what's right, it automatically, whether you want to or not, condemns those who have not made that decision. That's what happens. So when you study the Bible with people, you're saying, hey, you need to choose what's right and you'll win the fight. But you need to choose and you need to live a different life. And they look at you and they go, man, if they're right, then I'm wrong. But I can't be wrong. So then they want to knock you down to their level. They heap abuse on you. You religious nut. You Bible bangers. You're too... over the top. You don't have to be that committed as they jump in to these same desires that have ripped us apart. And you remember what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Then what it comes around and says is, but they're going to have to give an account. And it gives allusion to the judgment.
Yeah.
You know, we're all going to stand before Christ.
Right.
We're all going to stand before Jesus and give an account for our lives. And, you know, it's like we do when we sit down and study the Bible with people in the very beginning. We talked about how everything's going to be uncovered. Hebrews 4.
Yep.
And laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Everything's going to be uncovered. So I don't know how the judgment's going to work. We're going to get up there and we're going to stand before God and we're going to have to give an account for our lives. But the image I always got was when I used to live in New York City. There's a huge television screen high above Times Square.
Yep.
Maybe you've seen it if you've been there, or if you've watched, you know, New Year's Rockin' Eve and seen this big TV. And I always ask people I'm studying the Bible with, how would you like it if, oh, tonight at 6, your life, uncut, uncensored, going to be on that big screen? How you doing? And you know, they don't look so good. You know? It's funny, we don't immediately think of all the awesome things that are going to be up there. Like, oh yeah, that would be great when I won first place in Little League. Like, you know, wow! No, our minds are more drawn quickly to those things we wouldn't want, well, grandma in the front row to see.
Yep. Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Galatians says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. We know. We know what they are.
Yep.
You know, and if we're in the Word, we won't be deceived and forget what they are. 2 Timothy 3 says all Scripture is God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
Yep.
You got to train your brain so that you don't end up like Cain. The problem is, there's just not much training in righteousness going on out there.
Come on.
Look out here. We're surrounded by UIC.
Yep.
University of Illinois at Chicago. And we even got a student sitting right here.
Come on. Come on.
You go on that campus and you get to know people. There's a lot of training going on over there. In fact, people have sacrificed a lot to come from all over the world, paid big bucks to get into that school and get trained in different areas. And then what they'll do from there is they'll get a job. And then they'll want to get a career. And they'll sacrifice everything. They'll move their family. They'll move away from all their extended family to a city they never ever wanted to live in. Why? For the job.
Yep. Yep.
For the green.
Right.
For the career advancement. I remember talking to a brother in Syracuse who moved down to Memphis. One of my best friends. And this guy, Theo, he had everything going on in life. He had just a great family, a great church family. And, you know, he was very involved in the church. He was a part of services, always up front doing something, and just an awesome guy, a great friend. I said, why do you want to move? Look what you got. But it was that career advancement. He's like, I'm going to go down, I'm going to go to church down there, but I really want to advance my career. And in order to do it, this is what I have to do.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Now,
wow.
We got a room full of people that have made great sacrifice to move here to be on the mission team.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to get you to understand, the world understands what you just did.
Yep.
They just don't understand why you did it.
Yep.
They'll do it for a school.
Yep.
They'll do it for a career.
Yep.
Oh, and they'll really do it for a pretty little woman or a fine-looking young man. I'll travel the world. Man, I'll sleep out in the rain if that's what it's supposed to be when a man loves a woman. You know what I'm talking about? As the song goes. But we've got to train our brains, and we've got to get people in the Bible and show them they got to train in righteousness. We've got to train ourselves. It's not strange. It's right to do it for all those things. It's even more right to do it for God Almighty.
Amen.
It's even more right to do it because you have a vision to save souls. That's what being on the mission team is all about. But we got to train our brains. And being on a mission team, it's going to be some intense training. We got some intense training to do. And I'm excited to jump on into that. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll close here.
Come on.
1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it's written, be holy because I am holy. This is what we've got to train ourselves to think.
Yep.
We've got to prepare our minds. For what?
Action.
For action.
That's right.
It's not just about guarding our heart against not doing the wrong things. But we've got to train our brain to live for the will of God. We've got to train our brain to live not for ourselves, but for other people.
Yep.
Because that's what's going to make a difference in this world. And that was Jesus Christ. And we've got to set our hope. What's your hope set on?
Come on.
We've already talked about the world, what they put their hope in. Relationships. Yeah. Money. Show me the money. Show me the job. Because then everything will be taken care of. That's not true, is it?
No.
I remember one family in Syracuse, good friends. And, you know, they're disciples. Beautiful kids. And you just want to think they're just going to be disciples for the rest of their life and go to heaven.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we want to think? I mean, look around the room.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we want to think about everybody here?
Yeah.
We're just going to set our minds. We're going to prepare for action. We're going to guard our hearts. Sin will not rip us apart. We're going to see to it and help each other.
Yep.
Isn't that why we're here?
That's right.
Yeah. And then we're going to train our brains. And we're going to do our best to invite other people to come. So we can train their brains too. And you know what people say? Wait a minute, don't study the Bible with them. They're going to brainwash you. Yeah. I heard the sermon the other day talking about training your brain. That sounds like brainwashing.
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't know about you. But when I studied the Bible, my brain needed a washing.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I needed to take a whole pack of Brillo pads up there, you know, and get rid of some stuff. And that's what's needed out there. But we don't want to be, people don't want to be trained to love God. So they're going to heap abuse on you. This couple, they were in years, for years, they were in church, they did awesome. They were great. And all of a sudden, and I'm sure it happened little by little by little and very deceitfully, she committed adultery and left him. Left the church. Now, it's funny, if you talk to her, she'd say, oh, I'm still fine with God. That's how deceitful sin is.
Yeah, wow.
And then I couldn't help her anymore because she didn't want to be helped. So I tried to help him. Stay faithful, bro. Stay in there for the sake of your children. But the wolves were kind of going in him. And after a little while, we lost him too. Sin ripped their lives apart. I want you to look around this room and I want you to decide, I'm going to guard my heart so that sin doesn't rip me apart. I'm going to let these folks into my life.
Yep. Come on.
And I'm going to do my best to get into their lives. Humbly, sincerely, lovingly, to see to it sin doesn't rip them apart.
Yep.
And then we're going to train each other.
Come on.
We're going to use the Word for training in righteousness and learn what to set our hope on. Here, it says, set your hope partially. No. Fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Can you think of that day for a moment? I'm sure we've been talking about sin today. And so you've thought about a lot of things. Unless you're just totally unable to detect or hate your own. There may be some things that need to be confessed. I had a brother grab me before church. I just want to confess some things that happened in my marriage this morning. I appreciate that.
Amen.
He got scanned. He got tested.
Yep.
You know, we were able to delete a couple items and, amen, set our hope fully on the grace. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I talked to somebody else. Guess what they had this morning? Some trouble in the marriage.
Yeah.
See, marriage is an area we got to train our brains. Amen? Because
yep.
It's no longer just us functioning as we want. Single, good to go. But 24/7, 365, there's another human being that is affected by everything we do.
Yep.
So there's some big time training the brain that needs to happen. What do we set our hope on? Fully on the grace that is to be revealed. Man died, went to heaven. And guess what happened? He was met at the pearly gates by who?
Peter.
Well, he has the keys, doesn't he? So he's met by Peter at the pearly gates. And the man got there, and Peter said, okay, here's how it works. You're going to tell me all good things you've done in your life, and I will give you points for your good things. And if you get 100 points, you get to come on in.
Come on.
I said, okay. Well, I was married to the same woman, faithful to her. I was never unfaithful, not even in my mind, for 50 years. Peter said, okay, well, good. 3 points. Not even a point for every 10 years? It's only three? He thinks hard. He goes, I went to church every Sunday. And I tithed. And I supported the church. He said, okay, 1 point. And he said, the poor. I serve the poor. I put a soup kitchen in my hometown. And every day I fed the poor. So he looked at him and said, okay, that's worth 2 more points. I looked at Peter. He said, at this rate, I'm never going to get into the kingdom of heaven except for the grace of God. Peter looked at him and said, come on in.
Come on.
See, guys, I think it's important as we talk about sin and the need to repent and the need to live godly lives and live like Christ that we don't ever start thinking we're going to earn heaven.
Yeah.
In fact, there's not enough good things we can do.
Yeah.
It's not like monetary debt where you've spent so much and now you got to pay that much back.
Yeah.
Much we sin, we can never pay it back.
Yep.
But bottom line is, it's the grace of God. You know, that's exactly what 2 Corinthians 5 teaches us. The message of reconciliation. That God is reconciling the world to Himself through Christ. And what's the message? He's not wanting to count men's sins against us. That's God's message.
Yeah.
Is I want to forgive your sins. I don't want to count your sins against you. And that's the message we've been given. The message of reconciliation. We've got to go out here and train people.
Amen.
To set their hope fully on the grace that is to be revealed. Lyndon B. Johnson said, yesterday is not ours to recover, but tomorrow is ours to win or lose. Choose what's right, and you will win the fight. Amen.
Amen.